Travel with Rick Steves is brought to you by American Airlines, with 4,000 flights to 250 cities in some 40 countries around the world every day. It's easy to book your next flight at AA.com. American Airlines knows why you fly. I'm Rick Steves, and this is Travel with Rick Steves. I want to share with you some tips for the accidental ambassador. When we travel, we're all ambassadors of goodwill, hopefully. And I've got a friend on the line who's dedicated his career to helping Americans travel in a more thoughtful and sensitive way. Jeff Greenwald is the executive director and co-founder of Ethical Traveler. His website, ethicaltraveler.org, is a wonderland of ways that we can learn to travel as ambassadors of goodwill, culturally sensitive, with good road etiquette. Jeff Greenwald, thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Jeff, you've written these 13 tips for the accidental ambassador, and they seem to be inspired by your firsthand experiences traveling mostly in the developing world. One poignant example was, I believe, when you were in Iran.
A lot of them were inspired by experiences I've had traveling, especially in places like Iran. I was there in 1999 for the last eclipse of the last century, and I was in the Imam Khomeini Square in Isfahan, with alone, the only American with 50,000 Iranians, when a small anti-American demonstration broke out. And the flags were being burned and effigies were being burned. And at that moment, to my astonishment, all the Iranians around me, the men, women, and children, got up and without saying a word, they made a protective circle around me. One of them took my hand, a man put his hand on my shoulder, and it was clear they weren't going to let anything happen to me. And I looked around at the way these people were spontaneously protecting me and thought to myself, my God, these are not the people I've been reading about in the headlines. And I realized at that moment that I was actually an ambassador, and I was being treated like that. And if that was going to be the case when I traveled, I should understand what it took to be an accidental ambassador.
Wow, what an eye-opener. So now I want to go through Jeff Greenwald's 13 tips for the accidental ambassador with a powerful image of the lone American in Iran being protected by all of these people rather than threatened by all these people and contributing to understanding through his travels.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
Yeah, you write about the importance of learning the polite words.
It's amazing how just a greeting in someone's native language can completely open up an encounter with them. I mean, they know if you care enough about the country you're visiting to learn how to say hello and thank you, it will open up 10 times more doors than if you just approached everybody in English, for example.
And they'll be more, I think, willing and energetic about communicating in English, which is where you'll probably end up anyways.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you make a mistake saying something, it brings you down a notch. It makes you that much more accessible. It's all good.
So true. Now, the polite words are hello, goodbye, thank you, please. What else?
If you can count up to 20 and then by tens to 100, you're in good shape too.
Okay, so it's not just please and thank you. It's showing an effort, enough of a respect for the culture to learn the basics like counting.
Right.
But you don't need to bog down on tenses or you know, any of this kind of stuff. Just learn the caveman grunt simple words, the niceties, the polite words, counting. Okay, the next one would be spend conscientiously.
Right, and that covers a number of different things. But the main thing is that you should be aware of where your money is going. You are traveling. You're bringing money and resources into an economy. Make sure that the people who need that money and who deserve that money are the people getting that money. Don't go to a developing country and spend your money on the hotel where all the money is going to the owners in France. Stay at locally owned places, eat at locally owned restaurants. If you want to enjoy Costa Rica, make sure your money goes into the hands of Costa Ricans.
Why is that better if you're going to the Sudan and having money not going to France?
Well, it's just great if you have a sense that you're actually contributing to a place that you're enjoying. I mean, when you come for dinner at somebody's house, you bring a bottle of wine. It's not like you just hand a bottle of wine to someone on the street, you know, and then go eat dinner with your friends. Mm-hmm. You actually want to help them out because you're taking something from them, so give something back.
And I think a lot of first-world travelers would be appalled if they knew what percent of their money actually stays in a developing country when they go there on vacation.
How little of it stays, you mean? Yeah.
How little, yes. I mean, it's amazing. 10% might stay there at that, and the rest is going into some first-world investment there.
But with a little bit of planning, a little bit of thinking, you can make almost 100% of your money stay in those countries you're visiting.
Another point on Jeff Greenwald's 13 tips for the accidental ambassador, learn the issues.
It's so helpful to know when you're going into a country if there's something going on that everyone in that country is aware of. I mean, I have to say, I couldn't believe it. I went to Burma, to Myanmar, on an assignment once for a political magazine, and so few of the travelers I met, especially the Italian and the French travelers, were even aware that Aung San Suu Kyi, the elected leader of that country, was under house arrest. I mean, if there's an environmental issue, if you're in a country that's about to be inundated with locusts, you should know these things. It will give you an entree with the people, give you something to talk about, show, again, like learning the greetings, that you care enough about them to know what their interests and concerns are.
It's a safety thing. It enables you to understand your sightseeing and your experiences better, and it's just flat-out good respect for your hosts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm amazed when I was in India how wonderful. I'm a news junkie, and I just was so detached from first world news and American news, and I made a point for the month that I was in India, I was only going to read Indian publications about Indian issues, and they're available in English. They're all over the place. And I got immersed in Indian politics, and it was a fascinating dimension to my travels that a lot of people, probably very few Americans, would have enjoyed.
It's true. In fact, when you're in the state of Kerala in India, it's really wonderful to know how proud the people in that state are of their economy and how they've built up this wonderful communist socialist economy that's really working in India. They love to talk about it. They love if you've done some research and can go there with them.
You know, that's a very good point. When I was in Kerala, man, it's sort of geographically, it's like the California of India. It's the southwest coast. And when I went there, I knew it was the most socialist part of the country with the most equal distribution of wealth. They weren't by any means wealthy, but they were equal distribution of wealth. So there wasn't the squalor I found elsewhere in India. They were the most literate part of India, and it was the most Christian part of that country we generally think of as Hindu. Knowing that enabled me to enjoy my visit to that part of India much, much more.
Exactly. And it'd be the same if you understood the issues in Sri Lanka or in Israel or even in California before visiting one of those places.
It is demoralizing for me as an American to be on the top of a great moment and look around and see other American tourists that just are clueless to what's the importance of that because they haven't really boned up on the local issues. Next point would be don't be greedy.
Don't be greedy. Oh, that's so true. I think that most travelers aren't really greedy, but there's this thing that comes up when we bargain. I think it often gets out of hand. If bargaining is really what we're talking about here in a way,
right. You
go to a lot of markets and souks, and it seems like you can basically get things almost for free. People, you know, there's so much competition. Merchants are so desperate. Sometimes the price goes down further and further. Next thing you know, you're walking away with something, and the person you bargained with, you know, maybe made a 3 or 4 cent profit on what they were selling, but it was better than nothing. I think that bargaining fairly is an art. It's fun to bargain, but both the buyer and seller should feel satisfied at the end of it. You shouldn't feel like you really ripped someone off.
So that's an interesting issue to me because, as a matter of principle, I don't like to be ripped off. On the other hand, I'm aware that one click of my camera in the days when I used film cost me as much as the person I was photographing would make in the entire day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the out of whack economic situation is just hard to fathom. Nevertheless, I would get in there and, as a matter of principle, bargain really hard. So you're saying it's more sensitive just to realize that we don't need to be so cutthroat in that regard. And in a related area, a lot of times you'll be overcharged for your rickshaw ride or whatever, and be used to the fact that they're going to charge Westerners a little bit more.
Sometimes you will be ripped off. Sometimes if you have a basic sense from other travelers of what things cost, you can avoid the worst ripoffs. There's this great anecdote of someone who paid a rickshaw driver $100 to take them from the airport to their hotel. Of course, that's extortionate. But there will be some differences between, you know, what you pay and what other people pay. And if it's a little more, just write it off as stupidity tax. Pay it cheerfully and go on your way. Don't dwell on it.
Without letting it mess up your perception of the people in that country.
Exactly.
I find a lot of people who are having a sour experience because they're being charged $2 instead of $1 for a taxi ride.
Or in my case in Laos, when I was charged 7 cents instead of 4 cents, you know, it was a difference of like several thousand kip, and I went ballistic. I hit the roof. And then when I stopped to think about it, it was 3 cents. I felt like such a fool.
Good advice. I'm talking with Jeff Greenwald, who's a travel writer, and he's dedicated his career really to helping Americans travel in an ethical way. He runs an outfit called Ethical Traveler. His website's ethicaltraveler.org. And Jeff Greenwald has put together what he calls 13 tips for the accidental ambassador. These are sort of culturally sensitive insights for good road etiquette for all of us. And the next tip would be learn to listen.
This is one thing that's really struck me, especially when I was traveling in Iran in 1999. Many people who realized I was an American came up and they began talking to me in a way that I realized they weren't just talking to me. They seemed to be talking to my whole country. And at that point, I realized that for many people, especially in the developing world, but also in Europe, also in Mexico, having the ear of an American is like having the ear of America. And it's really true. You've got to learn how to listen to people and understand that when people are talking to you, they really understand that you're going to talk to your friends, you're going to write a blog, you're going to write letters, you might even, if you're like me or you, Rick, you might even write articles or a book and communicate what they're saying to the rest of the world. So I think it's a wonderful thing for American travelers to learn how to listen and understand that that's the point at which we really are ambassadors more than any other point.
Wow. Somebody takes the time in the developing world to sit down with an American and tell them something, they're really trying to talk to our entire country.
And it's important when you reply, too, just to reply in a humble way, not to say whatever your opinion is not necessarily gospel, but to answer respectfully with a real sense of having heard what the other person has had to say.
You know, Jeff, I never put that together, but I was in Kabul in Afghanistan once, and I was sitting in a humble little cafeteria, and a local professor sat down and joined me for lunch. And I didn't invite him or anything. He said, "Can I join you?" And I said, "Well, yeah, you're already sitting there." And apparently he did this every day. He'd sit down with a tourist for lunch. And he said he had a point to make. He really, I thought he was just talking to me, but now I'm thinking he's talking to more than me. He said, "You know, I'm a professor here in Afghanistan, and you're an American, right?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "I want you to know that a third of this planet eats with spoons and forks like you do, a third of the planet eats with chopsticks, and a third of the planet eats with their fingers like I do, and we're all just as civilized." And I thought, wow, he had a point to make. And now I realize that I listened to him, and that was satisfying for him, and he was just sharing his pet peeve with the most powerful country on this planet.
He's just shared it through you with thousands and thousands of people.
And he made his point. Also, learn and respect traditions and taboos.
You talk about being embarrassed. Nothing is more embarrassing than seeing a Western tourist being photographed on the lap of a Thai Buddha. Or even worse, sitting on the head of a Thai Buddha. If the Thai authorities don't knock him off the Buddha, I'm tempted to do it myself. One of the worst taboos in Thailand, for example, is being disrespectful to a Buddha image. And the other worst one is touching any person on the head.
Right.
So you see these taboos combined by travelers, and it really makes you wince.
And in India, touching people with your left hand, for instance.
Right, touching people with your left hand.
And a lot of these are easy to sort of discredit in our own minds because we're so modern and Western, but you can't really not respect the importance it has for local people. You could put somebody through a very grueling ritual kind of cleaning. What do we call that? You could, if you touch somebody with your left hand in some traditional parts of India, you could put them through
have to be sprayed down with microbial spray afterwards. You know, they'll be so concerned with the pollution. It's the concept of juto, of contamination that exists in some of those countries.
Right. So you could actually accidentally contaminate somebody in India. That would put them through all sorts of just very serious inconvenience and without even knowing it. I think any good guidebook will explain the taboos that you got to be mindful of while you're traveling in the developing world.
You just go on Google and you put in Greenland taboos. And you'll get a whole list of all the things you can't do in a place like Greenland.
Well, that's a great idea.
And shake hands with a penguin, for example.
So Haiti, taboos.
Mm-hmm.
Sudan, taboos. Sri Lanka, taboos. Another point, don't give money to children.
And not just money. Candy, gifts, balloons, pencils, Band-Aids. People who travel, this is you've hit on my personal pet peeve here. Because people who travel often feel that it's wonderful, the great white hope. They come running into these little villages in Nepal and the Himalaya and Peru, and they start doling out candy or coins to children. And from that moment on, every day is like trick-or-treat in these countries.
Mm-hmm.
Every traveler who comes from that point on has to deal with the fact that you gave stuff away to the kids. It teaches the kids to be beggars, and it takes them away from understanding who really is providing for them.
Hmm.
If you bring money, if you bring pencils, if you bring notebooks, if you bring balloons, give them to a parent, give them to a teacher. Let these people distribute them so the kids will know where to turn for treats. It's not to Western travelers that they should be turning.
Well, I've seen the results of that. I mean, I remember driving through towns in Egypt on the Nile River, and how did they know I was even coming through the town? But as soon as I entered the town, I wouldn't even slow down and be driving through, and kids would come running from all sides. And even in my car, I could hear them screaming, "Backsheesh, backsheesh." And, you know, the rich Western guy was coming through, and they thought they'd get some coins or some candy. It's a bad scene.
It's one of the things that people like you and I, Rick, have really seen change in the world. I mean, there are places in Nepal where I was trekking 25 years ago where the kids, they would just come up to you, they would give you a flower. They would just hold your hand for a while. Now in these villages, all the kids are running up saying, "Oh, bon bon, rupiah." And it's changed recently, and I don't know if there's any way to take it back.
That's so sad, because my memory of Nepal is gorgeous little kids clasping their hands and just saying, "Namaste, I salute your virtues." But now they'll say, "Bon bon, backsheesh," huh?
In a lot of places, they will.
Next point on Jeff Greenwald's 13 Tips for the Accidental Ambassador, be open-minded.
Be open-minded? Yeah. You're one of the world's most open-minded travelers. Do you have any examples of that yourself?
Well, I just was raised thinking the world is a pyramid with the United States on top and everybody else trying to get there. And then I traveled to lands that met people that had nowhere near the affluence and opportunity and freedom that I had, and they wouldn't trade passports. They liked being who they are and doing it their way. And to me, one of the great things about travel is you're no longer threatened by differences, but you learn to celebrate them. And I've been humbled in my travels. I mean, I used to be disgusted with Indians who seemed to take better care of their cows than they took care of their children. How can you feed your cows and starve your children, I used to think. And then I just decided, hey, who am I to even judge how 800 million Hindus prioritize here?
So the point here is really to leave your preconceptions about the world at home, to understand that people live in different ways, and that people are generally around the world are a lot of them are fairly happy with their lives, even if they're not living the way we are. And to just realize there's a lot of ways to make your way through your lifetime on this planet, and just be respectful of it.
You know, when we travel, we do have to endure a lot of frustrations and just maddening bureaucracy and so on. And Western travelers are famous for their tantrums. One of Jeff's tips is flat out no tantrums.
Anger is something that Westerners like to indulge in. It's actually part of our social life. You know, you get angry with people. We love watching shows like Seinfeld or Curb Your Enthusiasm or All in the Family, where people get angry at each other, and it's very funny. And, you know, in the developing world, they find anger funny too, but they don't think it's funny to have anger directed at them. If you get angry with someone in a lot of places in Southeast Asia, they'll smile and they'll smile and they'll smile until you make them angry enough, and then they'll kill you. It's like there's not this spectrum of levels of anger.
Wow.
It's very important to curb your anger and to cultivate your sense of humor when you travel.
And I've found a sense of humor really helps. If I'm in some bus stop in eastern Turkey and everybody's staring at me, it gets on my nerves. And then I realize they need some entertainment. So I pick up a honeydew melon with my buddy and we play football with it and teach everybody how to play football. And it turns a tense situation into something that's a lot of fun for everybody.
It's true. And part of that also, that thing with anger. You know, I was speaking to a Nepali friend some years ago, and I said, you know, she was talking about how much she disliked Americans. And I said, is there one particular thing that Americans have in common that you dislike? And she says, yes, if they get angry, they threaten you. I won't give you my business anymore. I won't come back to this country. I'll tell the authorities about you. I'll do this. I'll do that. That's an important thing to remember, too. Don't threaten people.
Keep a sense of humor. Don't threaten people.
Just keep a sense of humor. Make a joke out of the most adverse situation. And you can turn a situation around that way. It's really remarkable.
Another tip for the accidental ambassador, ask for help.
The most useful phrase travelers can learn, I think, is the simple phrase, can you help me? I mean, often travelers get into hot water. I don't mean doing illegal activities. I mean unable to find the train station, unable to find a place to leave their backpack if they go into a museum. If you just come up to somebody who looks fairly trustworthy and just say, can you help me? In all my years of travel, I think I can count on the fingers of one hand the times that people have said no. People around the world are happy to help you. They love to help you. They want to help you. And it's one of the most wonderful ways you can bring out this whole idea of a global community is by being willing to ask for help when you need it, as well as to offer it when it's asked.
Now that you mentioned that, some of my favorite experiences have come out of just to be asking for local help. Good advice. And finally, this last tip seems like it's more philosophy than a tip. Maintain a sense of adventure.
maintain a sense of adventure. And, you know, when I travel, I always try to remember Kurt Vonnegut Jr.'s wonderful line. I think it was from Cat's Cradle, the line, strange travel adventures are dancing lessons from God. It's very true, and we can all of us travelers can think of times that we took that unexpected turn or made that unexpected encounter that really changed our lives. So be open, above all, to those kinds of encounters and to those strange travel suggestions.
Wow. Everybody has tips for packing and tips for staying healthy and tips for saving money, but we've been talking about tips for the accidental ambassador to travel culturally sensitive with the best road etiquette, thanks to Jeff Greenwald. I think, Jeff, these tips would really translate it into happy travelers for a lot of us heading off on our next trip.
Thanks. I just hope I can remember them all myself next time I'm traveling.
Well, I'm going to keep track of them. And we've been talking with Jeff Greenwald. He is the executive director and co-founder of Ethical Traveler. For more on Jeff's work, check out his website. It's ethicaltraveler.org. Thanks, Jeff. Happy travels.
Sure. Thanks, Rick.
Travel with Rick Steves is brought to you by American Airlines. With their new Advantage Award booking tool, it's easier than ever to book to over 800 Advantage Award destinations online at aa.com. American Airlines knows why you fly.